You've dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Dropped into Juicebox, featured on Vancouver's campus and community radio station CITR on the FM dial at 101.9. Or maybe you're just one of our many online listeners at www.citr.ca or podcast listeners at www.juiceboxradio.com. Yes, I know I sound like porn. Anyway, however you've come, and I do mean come, to spend this hour with us, we are glad to have you in more ways than one.
we hope to have you in more ways than one, that's for sure. So, yeah, thank you, Caroline. I think we're gonna get that one fully recorded so that neither Caroline nor I has to do it anymore. Although I do enjoy hearing you
sound all sexy voice.
Do your thing every week. All right, so tonight on Juicebox, we have a different kind of show in store for you, kind of an open conversation about many things sexual with a special returning guest, Kai Roan. Welcome, Kai.
Hello. Ooh,
is that your sexy voice?
It's my sexy voice. I'm speaking right from way down there.
Way down where? I think I may have to take a look and let our listeners use their imagination.
Oh my God. We're sounding very canned. We're going to be taking calls tonight, actually. You're free to call in and contribute to the conversation, whoever might be listening tonight. Call at 604-822-2487 because Kai, Caroline, and myself, Julia, are open to your questions. And collectively, I think we have enough knowledge and experience to handle just about anything you might throw at us. So if you've been burning to call, do so tonight. 822-2487 UBC CITR. All right.
Yeah.
So Kai, welcome. Remind our listeners, would you please, what it is you do in the sexual realm?
Well, Julia, I am a sacred sexual healer. I do education around sexuality. I help people to be empowered around their sexuality, and I do hands-on sexual healing work.
Right. Mm-hmm. Excellent. That would put you in the realm of sex worker, is that right?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. I like that. We were talking about sex workers last week on Juicebox, and from a very different sort of viewpoint, and I think often a lot of the sex workers don't get, like yourself, don't get mentioned, which I think are quite sex positive and doing it by choice and feeling empowered and actually really helping people on spiritual, emotional, mental levels. So thank you for your services that you do provide. You're a rare breed.
Oh, you're very welcome.
You're a rare breed. Mm-hmm. And we've had Kai on Juicebox before. He's very eloquent at speaking and very creative in his ways of being and his sexuality. So we're in store for a very steamy hour.
Yes.
Very, very steamy.
Oh, I think I better delay.
Yeah, I'm taking off my shirt right now.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yes, please use your imagination. Yes.
It is after 10 o'clock. I can.
Actually, that is true. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, well, yes.
Within reason.
Yes, we got in trouble last week for saying that. Can't say whatever we want.
A few things that we won't mention.
Yes. Mm.
Okay. We'll let everybody use their imagination.
Okay.
Which on that note, I want to hear what type of stories have been coming across your path these days, Kai.
Oh, well.
Oh, I love how you run your hands along your body as you're talking.
I'm taking myself into a very luscious body memory. Well.
Do describe.
I had my first public and non-public group sex experience this last weekend.
Really? Describe.
Well, there's this hot couple that I know that I've been friends with for some time, and they came up at a party that I was attending, and I was just lying there on the floor, and I noticed there was a sarong hanging down over part of the room, and she kept disappearing. She was like half naked, and she kept disappearing behind the curtain.
Sarong.
And so I went behind there to have a look at what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And she and her partner were there making love, and
I was wondering what was behind the curtain.
Yeah,
wasn't the wizard.
So well,
something a little better than that. Using the wand.
Oh no, it was so beautiful. Well, she was engaged in a conversation with another man, while her boyfriend was licking her anus.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Yes, very good. She was engaged in a conversation while she was having her anus licked by somebody else. Fabulous.
It was fantastic. And so
the anus licker couldn't be talking.
Well, I think his mouth was otherwise occupied.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. And what else?
So I engaged with I asked permission if it was okay if I hung out and if I watched. And then she was like, yeah, she's very receptive to that. And
And
then I asked if I could touch her on the shoulder, and then he stopped anus licking, and he came up and said, well, would you attend to her breasts while I continue what I'm doing? And I'm like, okay, I can do that.
Nice.
Nice to be so politely asked.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was a high degree of conversation, and it just progressed from there into, like, he had his first experience of being touched on his cock, his beautiful cock, by a man, which was me. And
nice.
I had my first French kiss with a guy, which really nice as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you have rough beards, both of you?
I was just going to ask.
Well, I was a little bit rough, so I got to experience what it was like, too. That's the thing about, you know, kissing guys, right?
Yeah, we know.
We do know. That's what I like about it.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm not a fan of kissing women, personally.
Mm-hmm. Caroline liked it a little rough around the mouth. I'm personally like my man to be quite, well, you know, trimmed and shaved around the mouth. It doesn't matter if the rest of his face is furry, as long as his lips are...
I don't like furry Grizzly Adams factor. It needs to go. It needs to be shaved.
All right. But you like it. You like it with a little... 5 o'clock shadow, I think.
Just slightly, so, yes. Because I like it being rubbed all over my body.
Oh, yeah. The right. Texture's nice.
Yeah. But yeah, I think guys kissing guys start to realize, oh, actually, you know, I really should keep it smooth.
Short.
Yeah, I learned a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, what else did you learn?
What did you learn?
Well, I learned that I was a good kisser.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was he bad?
How come you didn't know that before?
Well, I don't know. I've been kind of taking lessons from one of my roommates.
Oh,
really?
You live in a great house, don't you?
I'm never quite up to her standards, so...
Right.
Yeah, but I got some good positive feedback from...
Great.
From the woman that I was kissing there, and then she recommended me to him, saying that I actually kissed like him, and that she really liked it, so...
Oh, and that's how the French kiss happened.
Yeah.
Oh, fabulous. Mm. Cool.
I found that reading Betty Dodson's book lately did a lot for my kissing as well.
Really? Mm-hmm. Which one of Betty Dodson's books?
She's got a new one out called
Orgasms for Two.
Orgasms for Two, The Joy of Partner Sex.
Right.
She's got like a boyfriend. She's in her 70s now, I believe. I know. And she's got a boyfriend in his 20s.
She's amazing.
Really?
She's going off. That girl's got it
really?
Going on.
Would that
yeah.
be like super cougar or what would that be?
That would be beyond cougar. That'd be like polar bear or something.
Like, I want to be that when I get that.
No kidding.
That's so empowering and wonderful. Yeah.
I wonder how much Sue Johansson gets laid by 20 or 30 year olds, but anyway.
I do want to know.
Couldn't do it.
When at the very beginning, you're mentioning when you went behind the curtain that she was talking to somebody, having a conversation with someone else. What happened to that man when you got involved with the couple?
He stayed involved too.
Oh, so there was a foursome?
Yeah, it was a foursome, three guys and one girl. She was kind of like the glue.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So what was he doing?
I have such a fantasy about that, just with two guys. I can't imagine three. Good Lord.
So when her partner was licking her anus and you were licking her breasts, where was the third person?
Well, he was licking her breasts too. And then he just, like, instead of licking her breasts, he just started making out with her. And I was like, To me, it was like, I wasn't sure if he was going to be okay with that, like her boyfriend, because there's like a big difference to me, like licking someone's breasts and deep kissing with them. That's a big jump. I felt that kind of...
It's a pretty intimate thing to kiss.
What is so personal about kissing? I mean, we all know the pretty woman factor, where you're not supposed to kiss on the mouth, but why is it that?
I'd like to answer that question too, but Guy, why don't you go ahead?
I can't explain it. It just is.
Well,
Julia?
I think it's because first of all, there is the safety thing. I mean, if you're kissing fluid exchange. So if you're kissing somebody's skin on their breasts or you know anything outside of their genitals, there's obviously pretty safe sex there. But kissing, fluid exchange. So there's that. But I think it's such a deep conversation between two people, very intimate and. It's meaningful, and I think there's a lot of spiritual exchange as well, a lot of energy exchange that can happen because it is so back and forth. It's not like you're just fucking or something. Like, I think it's more intimate than fucking, personally, to kiss somebody,
too.
To make out in that way.
Yeah, I have a number of partners that I fuck with, but we don't kiss.
Oh.
Although it's
that sounds like sex work to me as well. Is that the case?
No, these are like friends. I don't know what that it is. It's just like, I got to think about going kissing right now. I'm working through my blocks on kissing.
On kissing,
for sure.
Yeah. It's amazing. You know, that's one thing. And even Caroline, you've said this. Mm. If you aren't a good kisser, you don't pass by the kissing test, it's like done, you know? Because there's so much energy there. Like I'm saying, it's such a conversation. It tells you so much about a person, how they kiss and how they respond to your kisses and stuff like that. So, anyway. So it is an area that we all should continue to work on because... I think I've gotten better over my years as well. And I'm very discerning when it comes to kissing. If somebody's not good at it, it's just like, ugh.
Oh, if they fail the kiss test, you said, it's like, what's the point of going on?
Yeah.
It's true. Although I find it fascinating that you guys both feel comfortable in terms of where fucking is different than kissing.
Yeah.
Okay, so you had a group sex experience, and you've also had
on Friday and on Saturday and Sunday night. Different groups of people. The one on Sunday night was a planned thing. Like the couple, they were like, "Well, Kai, we're in here in town for a few days, and we just want to fuck the whole time we're here and have group sex the whole time we're here.
Oh,
could you like call up some of your girlfriends and like?"
I didn't get a phone call.
Neither did I. But then again, the whole kiss thing with me. So who knows? Yeah.
So I invited a couple of my girlfriends, and actually, I invited one. And we're not really fucking all that much either. We're just close friends. And then she invited another friend who I'm not fucking as well either. And
I ended up having times with both of them.
Yeah. And
and
this couple. So there was like three women and two men. It was really hot.
Oh my God.
That sounds really hot.
It was amazing.
Kai, that's crazy.
It was really good.
So was there three girls, three guys?
Three girls, two guys.
Oh, wow.
It was so good.
And it was an orgy, man. That sounds
It was so conscious,
fabulous.
Too. We had,
Was it?
With the two girls, the two friends of mine, I had a really wonderful emotion. We went through a whole clearing process beforehand, like getting clear on our boundaries and what they felt comfortable with and what they didn't feel comfortable with and their concerns about me. And
interesting.
And then when we started the orgy. Mm-hmm. We had a circle and we really got grounded and centered. There was no drugs or alcohol involved whatsoever.
I was just going to ask.
Super intentional.
Yeah, and then we And I led people through That's a meditation good. To get clear about what their desires and their fears were.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we took our clothes off and got fucking crazy. It's awesome.
I can't
it sounds like a penthouse letter.
So
I love
cool.
it.
Yeah.
Except it's nice because you're standing wow. here right in front of us. Wow. You're sitting here.
Yeah.
Telling us all about
so to me, this is like the work that I'm doing on a personal level for sure. Like healing work is creating a conscious conversation around sex.
Speaking of conscious conversations, you mentioned that you had done a conscious you've been working on conscious masturbation and coaching, masturbation coaching as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
A big part of my practice is moving out of right now the just doing the hands-on healing and empowering people by giving them tools. Tools to use with their tool, I guess.
Is it mainly men then that are taking it?
Right now it's men.
Okay.
Right. I've done two sessions so far, one with a friend for exchange and then one with an actual client. Mm. And so I'm teaching them the basics for not having a premature ejaculation, which is awareness training, embodiment training. That means like being aware of your sensations in your body.
I so need to give your number to some of my ex-boyfriends.
Uh-huh. I think there's a huge demand for this sort of training.
There is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it make men feel better and more empowered.
I have pretty much every man I've ever been with has been a premature ejaculator.
Well, there's so, well...
It's so common. It's crazy. I mean, I'm totally patient with it. I don't have any problems, and I can definitely coach and train and help guide the situation to be more where we both want it to be. But yeah, I think it's so prevalent. It's just, yeah.
It's deep. It really goes deep. There is a lot of emotional stuff, fear and guilt and shame.
Mm-hmm.
And the fear and guilt, what happens is the fear and guilt and shame are around coming too quickly actually takes a man out of his body into his head. And then he doesn't realize his body's tense.
Which brings you closer to ejaculation faster.
Yeah, so you kind of create your own reality. So a big part of what I'm doing is working with my clients to help them to move through that emotional stuff and also to recognize what body sensations are present when they're moving into that fear and shame and guilt and have them, instead of separating from their body, going into that, staying with their breath and staying with their body sensations and relaxing into it so that it can clear, and then creating an empowering context from there, which is like, you know, being vulnerable with their partner for one, like saying like, you know, I'd like you to help me with like this and
to stop when I need you to stop and to do different things or to switch it up or
How did you get involved in this realm of that particular, the conscious masturbation in these workshops?
A big part of it has been my own conscious masturbation practice and how it's been such a self-healing thing for me.
Okay.
There's that old saying that all love starts with self-love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the physical realm, there's nothing more self-loving than masturbating, self-pleasuring. So I've been doing a lot of that.
That's very true, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The more I've been masturbating, which is something I haven't done a lot of in my life, but I think I blogged about that just this past year I've been doing so much more masturbating because I'm trying to use without a vibrator and other things I've always used to using. Mm-hmm. And I've just been finding out tremendous amount about myself, my spirituality, my emotions, my feelings, and then feeling like I used to feel so guilty. I mean, it's just, I can't even believe it. Like, just guilty, and wanting to get it over with quickly and everything else just tied to my past. And so you're right, Kai, I just really feel that it's been so much about self-love and all these terms I've heard over the years and been like, self-love, but I've never really felt it. So it's so much is about that conscious masturbating that you have to be doing it like consciously. It's not like you can just to clear your past. I mean, and to sort of, you know, be okay with what you're doing and get creative about it and learn what turns you on, and then learning how to communicate that to your partner is so important.
It's really, for me, the most important thing is like teaching ourselves to be embodied. That means like to be present with the sensations in our body.
And not to disassociate when you're floating up on the ceiling looking down at yourself.
Or in some sort of fantasy. Because that's where you're connected to the now moment. That's where the power is to create your realities. So practicing that by myself, it's much more easy to stay that way when I'm in the more intense situation with a partner.
So have you had like any kind of gurus or like programs that you took that sort of started you on this path of conscious sex?
Well, I guess my teacher, Maryse, was my most...
Maryse
Côté.
She was a juice box girl, and she did her own show, Six Sacred Secrets or something. Mm. Here for, a while she was doing it. We were very blessed to have her on this time slot.
Mm-hmm. But really, no, I've been kind of just doing it on my own. I mean, it's the information is there. And all of the gurus have, like, books that can, internet information or videos that are easily accessible. And if you just take the time to learn it, it's like a skill, any skill. Being a good lover, being a lover to yourself, being embodied, it's just
skills.
There it is. Go out and develop your skill. It just takes the time to do that and the willingness to do that.
And the focus, exactly.
Yeah, so that's what I've been doing. And let me tell you, it's not such a challenge. It's one of those things like, I don't want to get up and masturbate now. It's like, no. It's like, whoa, I'm going to practice masturbating today, you know?
Yeah.
And I really have fun doing it, too. Like, I today I was dancing and got the music going and burned some incense and got the heater going in my room. And it was touching my whole body.
Even after a weekend full of orgies and group sex, you still masturbated today on Wednesday morning. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Hump day. It's hump day. Okay.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You gotta keep the energy going.
I know what you mean. And it's actually true. I think the more you get, the more you want. So.
Yeah. And it just, I remember waking up this morning, I was like, kind of blah. And then just doing an hour of that, I was like, inspired, creative. Mm. Yeah.
Great. Well, the sacral chakra, the sex chakra, which is about 3 inches below your belly button, through your whole body, kind of. I think that is linked to creativity. That is all about creativity. So I think when you let your sex chakra open up by doing masturbation and by doing these kind of practices, that your creativity is going to flow a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
and that's also the important thing, I think, is to extend the process. Like, it's not like a goal oriented thing. Like, I'm going to get off in 3 minutes. Mm. Like, oftentimes I don't actually ejaculate.
Good.
Like, I'll spend time just breathing and circulating the energy for like an hour or I feel
nice. Feel
amazing.
I feel amazing at the end of it without having ejaculated.
Right, and I think that's we could talk about chi or the spiritual side of not ejaculating and the energetic stuff.
Yeah.
You can read all the books about that as well, though. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about. Yeah. So I think these are some great recommendations you've given to our listeners, just sort of starting out with exploring these things. You were recommending Betty Dodson. You're recommending what are some other books that you might want to tell our listeners?
The other thing I'd like you to do is you can check out, there's this amazing website. It's called eroticmassage.com.
Nice.
Eroticmassage.com. Okay.
And you can actually get to that one through my website, massagebykai.com.
Okay, great.
And they have an incredible library of instructional videos around things like conscious masturbating. There's another website called Mindful Masturbation for Men.
I like the alliteration. That's hard to say.
And so there's a big movement out there around empowering men to be conscious masturbators, mindful masturbators.
Great.
That's a great start.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So I know we had Global Orgasm Day not long ago.
Oh yeah.
And I remember hearing about this in the ripples of
Damn boy.
The ripples
down.
Global Orgasm Day.
The ripples of the sex positive society. I heard, no, we're not doing this for real, and no, we're not getting fired off the Juice Box. Okay.
No.
Kai.
But after Juice Box.
Had created. What did you say about my Juice Box?
Nice.
This is why we called the show Juice Box. You know that, listeners, right? Maybe I need to put my oldest show back up so people hear why the show is called Juice Box to begin with. So Global Orgasm Day, I remember hearing through the ripples that you were hosting a group masturbation for orgasm for peace. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
I'd love to. Well, I decided that I was going to really do my bit for world peace. So I created this ritual where I was going to invite a whole bunch of people over to my home, and we were all going to masturbate together. So I sent out an email to everyone telling the intention behind it. It's like to send all that energy out It was on winter solstice, the 22nd of December. Send it all out with the intention that that would, like, heal the earth. And it was took quite a bit of me getting through my own stuff to really create that event. Because it's sex shared in public is just generally, consciously, is not something that we're comfortable with.
You know, unless it's a fetish sometimes.
But. Yeah, the fetish scene, okay, that's definitely has its own following, but this is more like, you know, how often in, like, even in sex parties, oftentimes there's, like, a no masturbation rule. There's still some sort of taboo that exists around
masturbation.
Masturbation.
Even in this day and age.
Right.
Wow.
So, I created it, and I got a lot of coaching from a friend of mine named Terry Chackie. She's a sex-positive educator down in Seattle.
Okay.
She has created a lot of evenings where she'll get people together for healing group sexual experiences without the influence of drugs or alcohol in a spiritual context, in a conscious spiritual context. So she coached me on how to actually create the evenings.
Whoa.
Oh, ouch.
Keep the earphones away from the microphone, hon. Just put them on your ears. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you, Kai.
That's okay.
Are you in the middle of something really important? We have a caller, and I just wondered if we should take a quick call before the break.
All right, we can talk more about Global Orgasm Day later.
Okay, good. Okay, let's just answer
take
this.
Take a call.
There's a call, and he has a question, so I'm going to try my best here. Hold on. Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Hello, Juicebox.
Hello, thanks for calling.
Hi there.
Thank you. Hi, interesting to hear what you say about orgasm and masturbation.
Thank you.
Yeah. I experimented with guys a little bit the last few years.
Good for you.
Never really had a boyfriend, just encounters. And the first one was quite exciting and, you know, I am able to achieve multiple orgasms since then.
What does that mean for you? How does that look?
Several in one day.
Like, is that, like, multiple ejaculation?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Are you young? How old are you?
I'm middle-aged.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And, you know, I didn't obviously have your services or counseling or anything in that matter.
You figured it out on your own, did you?
I think as you get older, you sort of lose your hang-ups gradually.
Right. Definitely. That's one of the benefits of getting older, I think, and actually your sex starts to become more powerful can be potentially more powerful than when you're younger because it's so much more in your mind, like you're thinking more about things and things are more meaningful. So, they become more powerful and more powerful experiences.
I always had girlfriends and I was married for quite a while and I turned 40 and, you know, but I also been called names all my life.
Yeah.
Are you bisexual or are you finding that you're more homosexual now?
I'm finding let me explain. I mean, I just got fed up with the name calling.
Yeah, labels are so limiting.
You know, people have labels for everything. And I wanted to find out the truth either way, you know, before I die anyways. So I went and sought out a guy and I found out the truth, you know. I can do it with a guy or I can do it with a girl.
Fantastic. So,
I'm sort of feel liberated.
Go bisexuals. I'm one myself. I hear you.
I think it's good.
Excellent. Important. Did you have a question at all for Kai, or are you just sharing today?
Well, my question for him is, what is it like to be a sex trade worker?
Well, what is it like?
To be a male sex trade worker.
For me, it's an incredibly beautiful experience. I get to facilitate ecstatic experiences for people, take them to places perhaps that they've never been before, and these experiences can have lasting healing effects on them. For me, in opening myself to this work and being vulnerable, it has shifted my own feelings around sexuality, and it's shone a light on those places in myself where my own guilt and fear and shame is still present and has allowed me to transform those parts of myself, and more power has arisen in me, more creativity, greater sense of love and joy. happiness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I've been watching the CBC recently, and they've had a couple of programs on the sex trade, first in the Philippines and then in Vancouver.
Yeah.
I saw the Juice Box.
Yeah, thanks.
Part of it. And
Scarlett's a good friend of mine. She was on that show.
You know, the undertones are negative, though, you know. And,
you think so?
They shouldn't be.
I think it was showing the street-level sex trade as negative, and I think that it is in a lot of ways,
even the escort girls were sort of like under the radar the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, partially because some of the activity is illegal, but also because our society is so sex negative that, you know, people guilt and shame around these things when they really shouldn't have to, so.
Yeah. That's definitely been a process for myself. Like, I still find challenges in sharing the complete thing that I do with mainstream people, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for us to continue the conversation, caller, and I'm glad you called. If you want to hang on through the break, we can continue talking later or call back or what have you, but we do have to take a break. It's kind of CRTC rules here, so.
Oh, no, the government.
Yes, yes.
Well, thank you for calling in.
They're watching us, but
yes,
thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling. Yes.
Okay.
Good luck on your continued journey.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Well, during our break.
Okay,
give us a call if you'd like, if you want to ask any questions with Kai, Julia, or myself, Caroline, at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And keep your dial locked and everything else locked to hear more about our rather frank conversation with our sex healer and practitioner, Chiron. You are in Juice Box, featured on CITR, Vancouver's 101.9 FM. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Thanks.
Thank you.
You know what? Hold on a second.
The reason
I'm thinking that, the V-Day girls are waiting outside. Maybe we should let them do their little bit first.
Oh, I think that'd be lovely. Maybe
V-Day girls, are you out there? Come on in. Okay, the Vagina Monologues. We have some wonderful women here from the Vagina Monologues Coalition who are going to share a little bit about what's going on there. So go ahead.
Say your thing, girls. There's the microphone.
Welcome.
Speak right on in there. Go ahead.
Would you like us to take? Oh, just come right in and talk into the mic.
You're on the air.
Hi, girls.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I'm here with Rachel from the Vagina Monologues at UBC.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Tell us a little bit really quickly about V-Day.
Sure. Well, V-Day is a charitable organization that raises money and awareness for ending violence towards women.
Nice.
Yay.
Yeah.
And Evensler basically lets you do the show where she waives the rights in terms of costs for it worldwide.
Yes.
So listeners, because we're podcast worldwide, could go see a show.
Yep.
And the proceeds get to go to different organizations. Which organization worldwide this year has she picked for 15% of the proceeds go to?
I'm not 100% sure. I'm actually just a cast member, but I will give you the information I have. Mm-hmm. All of the shows raise money globally and locally.
Mm-hmm.
So globally, the campaign is going towards Heal Africa this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then locally, we are raising money for the SASC, which is the Sexual Assault Support Center here on UBC campus.
And for WAVA.
And for WAVA, Women Against Violence Against Women.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
When is the show?
It's next weekend. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, February 7th, 8th, and 9th. And we have a show each night at 7 at the Freddie Wood Theater, and a 2-for-1 matinee at 2 p.m. on the Saturday.
Which is perfect.
So you can take a friend or lover.
Where is that theater?
It's just on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's great. I'm really glad you guys are doing it. It's a huge, huge, huge initiative. And, she's doing events, so the playwright is definitely doing her bit for world peace.
Yes, she is.
She really is.
Really inspired by.
Yeah, and as a cast, we're all, along with the Pussy Posse, which are volunteers, we all promote the show. And in promoting the show, we're fundraising, selling chocolate vaginas and buttons and T-shirts. And so we're getting the word out there because a lot of students on campus, either they've heard of the Vagina Monologues or they haven't, but they're not sure about V-Day, or, you know, they just think, ooh, it's a bunch of women talking about their crotches. But there's so much more going on. So it's great to get the word around.
Where can you buy tickets and chocolate vaginas, which would be really good to eat?
Yum.
And they make amazing gifts for people who aren't expecting them. We are selling tickets at a booth outside of the Student Union building on campus.
Nice.
Every day until next Friday, so you have another week and a half. You can also buy them at the Freddie Wood Theater box office, and you can call 604-822-2678 to order those over the phone.
That'd be great. Well, ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you
for having us. Your performance. And thank you for volunteering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have a great night, guys.
Thank you. And we are going to have some callers when we come back from our break. And so we are taking a short break now.
Okay, cool. Here it goes.
I see you putting stuff in your face. Why don't you stuff me up? I see you putting stuff in your face. Why don't you stuff me up? I see you sitting stuff in your face. Why don't you stuff me up? I see you sitting stuff in your face. Why don't you stuff me up? Eat a cookie and a big dick every day. Why? Eat a cookie and a big clip every day. Why? Eat a cookie and a big dick every day. Why? Eat a cookie to be clear every day. Whoa.
I see you sitting stuff in your face. Why don't you stuff me up?
I see you sitting and stuff in your face. Why don't you stuff me up?
I see you sitting
and
stuff in your face. Why don't you stuff me up?
I see you sitting
stuff in your face. Why don't you stuff me up?
Eat a cookie and a big dick every day. Why? Eat a cookie and a big clip every day. Why? Eat a cookie and a big dick every day. Why? Eat a cookie and a big clip every day. Why?
I see you sitting and stuff in your face. Why don't you stuff me up?
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Yes, you are back in Juice Box. That was Peaches.
Hello.
That was Peaches and Stuff Me Up.
We thought it was appropriate.
from her. I'm not sure which album. She's fabulous, but we all know she's got three or four of them, so just buy them all. All right. So I just wanted, before we get back to the Global Orgasm Day conversation that we were having before the break, a caller called in, Hugh Erection, one of our most dedicated listeners, called in with a question. I thought it was a really good one, so we'll just try to address it, the three of us, and then we'll get back to the Global Orgasm talk.
Mm-hmm.
So Hugh's question was, basically, swingers kind of parties and swingers clubs are kind of all about sort of fortuitous, like sex, and you know, gazing in each other's eyes and kissing deeply is kind of frowned upon and or not really practiced at all. Just a lot of like fucking and oral sex and a lot of that kind of craziness. And he says even like masturbating is not really something done in these kind of environments. And polyamorous sort of parties and poly kind of environments really do encourage the intimate sort of stuff like eye gazing and the deep kissing. And he's wondering. And not so much the masturbation. I mean, the masturbation is totally fine to do in this poly in the poly situations. And the question was, what's so funny?
Oh, we're flirting.
We're just having a moment over here.
Oh, they're flirting. Oh, hello. We're flirting. Excuse me, I'm trying to be all serious here.
And this doesn't feel like a serious show.
And so the question I think was, oh shit, Hugh, I can't remember what the question was. something about what are these genderized or what is do women like this more like the former or men like the former more or does women like the poly thing?
I don't
more
like that
men?
Question. It's boring. Let's just go on.
I know.
Well, I just like these questions of gender and men and women and stuff like that. It's just like
I said that I thought my answer. Let's hear my answer first. Let's see if you have anything to add to it. Okay. My answer was that I don't think it's necessarily genderized. I think that women have been encouraged to be intimate and to sort of have things be meaningful, whereas men are sort of encouraged in over time to be animalistic and just fuck and whatever. So it kind of tends to maybe weigh one way or the other. But I said it's an erotic thing. It's like eroticism is very personal, and I think. It sort of depends on what turns you on.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Okay, moving along. So, Global Orgasm Day.
Okay. So, I was just telling Carolyn how I had to move through a lot of stuff just to create the day because, mm-hmm. First of all, public sex or group sex is not something that is really culturally
accepted,
and masturbation isn't really either. Like you said, you go to a swingers party, and masturbation is frowned upon. Other sex parties that I've heard of or seen the rules, you know, masturbation isn't allowed either. Like there's some sort of like stigmatism around masturbation, which still exists. Like only losers masturbate because they can't get it from a partner. Or something. I don't know. So I had to move through that. And the other thing was like how to make it safe for people to attract people. So I got some really good coaching on that. And what I did was at the start of the night, I led people again through meditation to really get present to what their fears were about engaging in this ritual and what their desires were. And some of the fears that came up were really, really interesting. Like one woman, she went into this meditative state, and what she most feared was that someone was going to break in during the masturbation ritual and kill us all.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like this is how deep this stuff goes. Mm-hmm.
What other types of fears were there?
Other fears were like that she couldn't last very long.
Mm.
That
she could just have two or three or four.
Yeah.
More.
Maybe she'd get sore.
Yeah.
That's true too.
Yeah.
And yeah. What happened? Well, we set the space. We did an invocation, like we cast a circle. Like I'm very in the whole spiritual part of sex, where when I'm doing these rituals, I invoke sort of a transpersonal state, like a realm,
it's a safe space.
Like yeah,
so
divine.
In that way, it helps. Did it seem to alleviate a lot of people's fears?
Well,
it made them feel a little bit more comfortable, at least.
And I got clear. People got clear, like what they wanted and what they didn't want, as far as the setting of the space. Like they want. Actually, two women showed up for the event.
It was just the three of you.
Three of us, yeah.
Just goes to show you how sex negative people are really afraid. Well, masturbating is such a personal thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then to do it in a group, like, I think I'd be pretty intimidated.
Yeah, really? It's one thing doing it with a partner.
I can't even do it alone. I can't even do it with a partner half the time.
Really?
Like, yeah.
It's one of the most sexy things, having your partner watching.
I love doing that.
I love watching people masturbate. Are you kidding? It's so hot.
I love being watched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things to do with a lover, is masturbate with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. I like watching them.
But not doing it yourself.
I'll do it, but I don't get off. But anyway.
Oh, okay. Well,
I've got issues, okay?
You do?
We all have issues, my love.
Hon.
That's what we need to hire this boy to take care of us.
He needs to teach me a thing or two. Yes,
well,
yes.
It could be a co-creative learning process, I think. You know, I think you should probably teach me a few things too, Julia.
Does that mean we're doing trades?
Thanks, Kai.
Yeah.
Maybe you can do a trade. Like you said, if you had a friend that you did a trade with, I was like, oh, I could afford that.
Maybe you and I could work out a conscious masturbation for women coaching session or something together. Working that out. Because
yeah.
I'm really strong on the male masturbation thing. The female masturbation thing, not so strong on.
What I find interesting about the conscious masturbation, where there's no fantasy attached to it, is I remember there was one woman I interviewed before for something else who was actually taking her counseling to become a Christian counselor, and they fully encouraged masturbation, but long as it wasn't attached to fantasy. So I found that interesting that you're working towards that.
Oh, I know a lot of Christian women that like masturbate thinking of Jesus.
Jesus fucking them.
You guys, there is actually a vibrator that is shaped like Jesus.
Oh, I know. I saw it at the sex show. It was fabulous. He's on a cross as well. Anyway, okay.
I'd scratch different areas.
Would. Okay, all right. Do you want to talk a little bit more about the orgasm thing, day?
Yeah, I just want to say that what happened in the end was that the woman that was having the fear of the coming too quickly, she actually had this deep realization during the ritual that she was masturbating quickly because she felt like she always had to get off quickly because that's what all of her experiences with men were like these short, quick things. Like,
if she didn't come quickly, she wouldn't come at all.
Yeah, exactly. So then she had this deep realization after masturbating an hour with all of us, and it was hot. There was times when we would drop into our own space, and times when we were like connecting with each other, looking at each other, and just being with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And she just realized that she could give herself as much pleasure as she wanted for as long as she wanted, and there was no rush.
Oh, how beautiful. Yeah. What a profound learning to enter into.
It sounds so simple.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
And obvious.
I know. It's.
But she got it that night. Yeah, so that was really beautiful for me.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Where did this take place? Did you do it at your place, or did you do it outside? Because you said it was winter solstice, so it's probably too cold to do it outside. Yeah. But
summer solstice would be a nice one to do.
We did it in my living room.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was just curious in terms of how public were we, like in terms of...
Yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah, I think it was private.
And
I would think these things would be more comfortable private.
I was actually prepared to set the space so that people, if they wanted to actually be in the room but like not be seen, that I was actually going to curtain off areas people could have their own little private masturbation room where they could hear the sounds of the group, but they wouldn't actually be seen by them as well.
Nice.
But it turns out that the girls were all happy to, we were all happy to just masturbate in the same room, but we turned down all the lights and we just lit the room by candles, so it was really nice and cozy and warm and intimate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, lovely. Sounds beautiful. I'll try to make it to the next one.
I'm going to have them on, just start doing them weekly or something, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Have Masturbation Mondays.
Masturbation Mondays. Well, I might be able to make it to that. Okay, so let's just talk quickly about, I have a question for you. I really want you to answer.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Okay.
And then we'll go on to what's next for you.
Sorry for being so snarky on the other question.
Yeah, you're very snarky to our poor listeners. So I want to know what your thoughts are on male circumcision.
I think it's horrible.
I think it's genital mutilation, and I'm having a lot of issues lately because I've been dating Jewish men, and I'm thinking, I can't date you because you're going to want to mutilate your baby boys. I will not stand for it. So, yeah, I've been struggling because I don't know. Anyway, so I've been talking to a lot of my friends about it, and I just want, so you think it's horrible.
That's my opinion. I think, from what I understand, it's one of the most sensitive parts of the cock. I wouldn't know because I don't have one.
Mm. You've had yours removed?
Yeah, without my choice.
Without your consent. Like
without
most
my
children.
Consent.
Babies, yeah.
And I just think it's wrong to reduce the amount of pleasure that I can experience from my cock.
And I think just doing something without consent is a really big deal.
Agreed.
Now, I think Caroline has preferences.
I do prefer circumcised to uncircumcised.
I prefer uncircumcised, but I can't find any because people have been cutting them off for so many centuries now. Mm. So,
I know a few people. We can do trades.
Okay, great. Give me their phone numbers. Okay, thank you for that comment. So, no, Kai, with the last few minutes of the show here, what you know, you're such an advanced sex-positive, sexual practitioner kind of person, which is why I like to have you on Juicebox over and over again because there's so much that you can add to every great conversation.
Thank you.
I think I approached you about doing a regular slot, you know, monthly at least, where you come and
regular slot.
A regular slot. Yes.
I know. I was thinking that
not
too.
My slot. Regular slot. And I'm hoping that you'll still consider it, because I think you have so much to add to these conversations and so much more, and a male perspective we don't have very often here, because it's Caroline and I, and we're females.
It's a estrogen.
Well, I'd love to be slotted in.
Great. I'm glad to hear that.
Between the blonde and the brunette. Lovely.
Once a month.
It would be nice to have you.
Yeah.
It would be really fabulous. Thank you for being willing to do that. Mm-hmm. Our listeners will benefit so much. Okay, so tell us what's next for you, because you were just so advanced and there's lots going on. You're always doing really cool stuff.
The next thing that I'm doing, which I'm super excited about, is I'm doing this training down in San Francisco at the Institute for Advanced Study in Human Sexuality.
Oh my God, I've been dying to go there.
I'm taking what's called the Sexological Bodywork Certification Training.
Okay.
And it's put on by a man named Joseph Kramer. He was the one who started the Body Electric School about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Ex-Jesuit priest, totally dedicated to the union of spirituality and sexuality and bringing in consciousness.
Joseph Kramer.
And so that's
conscious, bringing in conscious
sexuality. Yeah. Erotic, conscious, erotic intelligence and wisdom into the world. And so I'm doing it's an 8-week course, 6 weeks home study, and then 2 weeks intensive down in San Francisco.
And
this course is like the cutting edge of erotic body work. And it's so cutting edge and so well recognized that actually if I did this course and I lived in California, I would actually be able to legally do hands-on sexual body work in the state of California.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah. Which is really progressive.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm going to be on the course with some really powerful tantra teachers from around the world as well. So I'm really excited about that.
How exciting. Yeah. And I'm so glad you didn't have to end up doing the options for sexual health.
Yeah, me too.
BS, because that wasn't going to work out at all.
No, it wouldn't.
Glad to hear that this is where your money's going and it's a much better fit.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm really excited about that.
Cool. What else are you doing?
I'm helping to produce a course with my teacher, Maurice Côté. Mm-hmm. It's a week-long training in April called the Tantra and Sexual Healing Certification Training. Mm. And a level one. We're doing a level two as well in 2008. And in the level one, it's all about the foundations of your own personal sexual healing, which is a preparation for doing sexual healing out in the world.
Right, which is one of the questions I had that we didn't get to. So, which is like, how do sex practitioners and sex healers, how have they managed to heal themselves? Because I would think that they would have to do that first. So you're answering that question. Because, you know, they don't just born sort of...
No.
Healed, and especially in our sex negative society. So cool. So you've been fighting this strong tide against sex positivity in our culture for a long time, Kai. And
a couple of years only, really.
I think that's amazing how far you've come.
Yeah, I was really sex negative 2 years ago. I was just like, just taking it on, and made it my choice to be this way. Wow, who's that cute guy?
Isn't he hot?
Yeah, very hot. No doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marianne is in the room.
He is.
Hans closes Misery Hour, which is coming up next. What?
I brought my friend from Belgium.
What's your vibrator friend from Belgium? They have the best vibrators in Belgium.
Really?
Which friend did you bring, Marianne?
Oh, she sits right there.
Oh, fabulous. Mm.
Oh, there's one last thing I want to share.
Okay, of course. We're not done yet anyway. Go ahead. Okay,
so that's the Tantra and Sexual Healing Certification Training with Marise. Mm-hmm. And I'm also creating this thing in Vancouver called the Center of Ecstatic Embodiment.
What is that?
Well, it's a place where people like myself with skill and compassion empower people around in the areas of love and sex and intimacy, and we get people to be in their bodies in an ecstatic state. So it goes beyond just the sexual healing. A lot of it is like getting the kundalini moving through dance.
It's
about creating really gorgeous spaces where people can have transformative experiences through music as well, and just connecting with other people.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Are you looking for a space to rent for this?
Yeah, I'm looking for people to help be involved. I'm looking for a space to rent. I'm looking for funders. Right now, I'm just telling everyone about it. And
not exactly sure how it's gonna manifest, but I know that by telling people, it's more likely to manifest than if I don't tell people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Definitely. And also just giving energy to it brings more manifestation to it and all that. So creating your reality.
Exactly.
Spiritual alchemy a la Little Wu.
Exactly.
You can find out more about that by checking her website. I think it's spiritualalchemy.org or something. Yeah. Anyway.
That was the last thing I wanted to plug. Oh, maybe my website again?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Massage by Kai, and that's KI.com. Kai, I have to say thank you so much for coming out at this late hour. It's sexy and all, but I think, you know, you'd rather be masturbating by the sound of it.
Well, there's still time for that, Julia.
Yes, there is. Let's get on the beeline right away. And thank you. I really just want to honor you for all that you do and all that you bring to people. And one of the callers asking about, you know, what do you get out of it, and just the way you got into the space of what it is you do and get is just so much what you give. And thank you so much. And I wish you all the best in the future endeavors. And one day I'll be courageous enough to come and do your work.
No time like the present.
Yes, because of the present. I also want to make sure that people check out juiceboxsalon.com. It's a new website about a new production that I've been putting together and co-producing with Michael Bean. And juiceboxsalon.com, you can find out about our upcoming event on March 1st. It'd be great if you check that out.
Awesome. Well, I hope we get to see everybody next week. And with that, we're going to be back with another fresh and a lovely juice box. And you do know what that word means, don't you? And in the meantime, please feel free to email Julia and myself about questions or issues about sexuality and relationships at julia@juicebox.com.
Juiceboxradio.com.
Juiceboxradio.com. You'd think I'd know that by now. So okay. I'm having a lightheaded moment. Please excuse me.
Too much flirting, maybe.
I don't know. I like flirting. Flirting's very healthy. It gets your heart racing. It's almost like getting a workout right here. Actually, I'd be
so masturbating.
I was just going to say, I wonder how many calories you burn masturbating. We should do a study about that.
For 15 minutes, it's 200 calories.
Really?
Yeah.
That's better than being on the treadmill. That's
not the way I masturbate. It's way more.
No wonder you're so slim. You need to eat more and masturbate less. No, I'm just kidding. All right, well, thanks for tuning into Juicebox Radio. We are going to be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. And stay tuned to Clahan's class, Misery Hour.
Yeah, and Marion will be back, our hot Belgian man or whatever he's from.
He's got a hot everything.
Yes. Ass included. All right. Okay. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Bye-bye.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening. You're gonna have to get into it. You're